Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today's Friday, March 25th. We're ready for the weekend, aren't we, Kelsey?
We are. Yes, it's here. It's upon us.
It's beautiful outside, and we're looking forward to a great weekend. Sunny, and no more rain, I think. No more rain this year.
Yeah, you think it's done?
It's over.
Oh, gosh.
It's back to hot and dry.
Well, it was nice while it lasted. It was
exactly
interesting. And like the foggy mornings and everything. I'd never seen that before here.
Yeah, I know. Well, it does get foggy near the coast usually.
Yeah.
This time of year, because you have the cold current and the warm air and all that stuff happening there. So If I remember a little bit from my geography when I was a kid. I loved geography. In fact, I loved everything in school. And I just, when I was young, I couldn't really sit down on my ass for too long. So that was the problem, you know.
I see.
I couldn't focus.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had ADD or whatever. I was more interested in socializing when I was in school.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Everybody has their strong points.
And right.
I think we should do a better job of developing that at a younger age. Instead of like, I swear you're going to use this advanced calculus one day.
Right, exactly.
You must stress yourself out and make an A.
Right.
I mean, it's just bizarre.
But some kids, you know, they're not meant to sit in one place for too long, you know. I mean, that's just, I'm always restless to this day. I can't sit in one place for too long, you know. It's like,
yeah.
I hang out with people. It's like I have to get moving, you know. I can't, like, I don't know. So I was always like that. But thankfully, in college, I was able to take it more seriously. So I graduated with honors and everything. And
where'd you go to school?
Well, I went here to Cal State Northridge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So not many people know of it outside of L.A., but it's a pretty good school, you know. And I didn't want to go away. I couldn't go away, really. I mean, when I went back to school, I was 26.
Mm.
And I just and I was getting married and everything. So I just went. I didn't have time to socialize or anything. And I focused, you know. So when I needed
right.
to, I did. But as a kid, I was too, I think I was like too creative, you know. You can't
sure.
keep kids down. And talking about creative, you saw my new bust here,
like,
right?
Honestly, I cannot quit staring at it. Because it is.
Okay, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I bought a 3D printer. Now, what that does is it creates objects, like plastic objects, from things you have in the computer. So you can scan things into your computer in 3D and then print them, print quote unquote. But you know, when you look at it, it prints just like a regular printer, but it does it in layers of plastic. So I did a bust of myself, my head and stuff, but it looked horrible in that green, right? You couldn't really tell anything in this
Ooh,
green
right.
that I printed. So last night I actually sat here and painted this damn thing.
I mean, how long did it take you?
Not very long to paint it. Maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Wow.
I was just playing around with it, you know.
Seeing that, and it looks so real.
It does, you know. I mean, it looks like a doll of me or something.
Yeah.
So, you see, that's the thing about me. It's like I have things in my mind that just flash, and that's what I wanted to do. And it's hard to get there with the technology I have,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying my best to do that. So, and it was funny because last night I'm sitting here at 10 o'clock at night. The cleaning people come in here and I'm sitting here painting a doll.
Oh my God.
They're like, what the hell's going on here? So it was funny. And I was feeling, God, this feels therapeutic to me.
Oh, nice.
When was the last time I painted anything, you know?
Yeah.
So it was fun. And, So I put it on Facebook and stuff. And so I'm going to play with this. And you'll see, I'm going to make them, like, very cool and big. And
yeah, I mean, that's just your first
really
one.
Cool. Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
So when you paint it, it looks actually pretty good. Yeah, but it took me a lot of sweat and tears to get this friggin' thing to work.
No.
So, yeah, it looks simple, but it's not.
It's not, yeah.
So, but I strongly recommend that as a new toy. But yeah, you got to know what you're doing. The learning curve is quite steep because you have to understand how it works. I mean, it doesn't stick sometimes and things like that. You go, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
You know? But thank goodness for the internet. Let me tell you, it really saved this planet. You know, I mean, remember before the internet, well, I don't know how much you remember before the internet.
Vaguely.
What year were you born? Like 79 or something?
89, yeah.
89, right? That's according to my math.
Uh-huh.
26 and
so 89.
So yeah, the internet started in about 93, 94.
Yeah.
So you actually lived before it came around, but you didn't know about it.
Right.
So you're an internet kid, internet mm-hmm. baby.
Yeah.
But before that, I mean, can you imagine? It's like you couldn't find answers for anything. You felt alone, especially with computer problems. And it was just terrible, you know? So now every problem that you have, you can find somebody else who has the same problem.
I mean, I hear that, and it is good in that way. But there's also a flip side.
Yeah.
And personally, I mean, I just think that it's good because you can research things, but then the disadvantage of the internet is that, you know, slander, exploitation, all that kind of stuff is so much easier now.
That's true, yeah.
And it's so hard to, you know, prosecute people.
Right.
So, I mean, somebody could come on and slander your business or whatever, and you could go after them, but it's still on the internet for a while or whatever until it gets taken down, and it can affect things. And
if it gets taken down, you know, reviews on Yelp, they'll probably never take down.
Right. I've never had anything, you know, any situations like that, but I have friends who have even, like, especially in the entertainment business, it's like, you know, somebody posts something on a gossip blog or something, and it sits there.
Wow.
Yeah, so it has its disadvantages, too.
That's true. A lot of them, too, yeah. But, yeah, like a lot of criminal activity and stuff going on. But, yeah, what can you do? I mean, in every technology, everything, people find the good and the bad in it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, that's unfortunate. People do exploit other people and stuff, especially young people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and youngsters are really exposed to everything. I mean, think about it. It's like you can't keep them from seeing anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, my God, when we were kids, it was so hard to get a hold of porn and things like that, you know?
Yeah, and now they're making, like, special browsers and stuff that, you know, eliminate those kind of search results. But, I mean, kids are still going to find it. It's not...
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, there's, like, I've been reading about the dark web, and, you know, they have, like, ways to cover your tracks and everything, and you can do illegal things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of child porn and stuff, which is like so sad to me every time I think about this, because, you know, we're not talking about, like, you know, if someone's 17, 16, they're still kids, you know, but they're close to adult. But when someone abuses, like, little kids, I mean, how can people do this?
I don't
know. How does it turn you on? I don't get it. And even if it does, go and fucking kill yourself before you kill someone else's soul like
that.
Exactly. How can you possibly, you know? And, you know, it's like, how do you just, I don't know how sick you have to be, but how do you justify to yourself doing something like that?
You just have to be sick, I think.
Right? You don't even think about what you're doing and the consequences and stuff. But a lot of people get into it. You know, I don't know if they're all sick, but I think it's just, because I'm reading about it and, you know, people are saying how they get sucked into it, you know, and it's like, mostly people discovered by accident and stuff, you know, like they're like on porn sites or something, and they will click a series of things and end up with child porn or something. And they're saying how, so it's by accident, but then they get sucked into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, my God, you know, how can it, I don't know. And then they probably, just keep looking for younger, but God, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, there's so much great and grown women and men and stuff. Why kids, you know?
I know.
So it's to take advantage of them, obviously. It's the power play there, I think. Being able to take advantage of someone and not suffering the consequences, I guess, you know. But the reason is, you can't have sex with kids or animals or things like that is because they can't give you consent. And when there's no consent, it's rape.
Of course, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, man, it's very sad. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. And this was a guest that we missed a couple of weeks ago. He's calling in from overseas. So,
Where is he calling from?
I think Australia, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so last time
the
he called
change.
At the wrong time because of the time change. So, but we'll get to talk to him today. And it's good, you see, because there it's like a day ahead of us.
Right.
So yesterday he was confirming. He said, I'm confirming calling you today. I said, no, it's tomorrow. So that was yesterday.
Right.
Oh, so I'm glad we got it right.
Oh, my God.
But he seems like a nice gentleman. So
that's
we'll see.
So funny.
Or like they say, a bloke. You know what? A bloke? A bloke is
Never heard of it.
A guy. Yeah. In England and in Australia and stuff.
Oh, my God.
In Australia, they call women Sheila, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
I just learned things.
So funny.
But a bloke is a guy, is a good guy.
Hmm, good to know.
Yeah.
So what are you doing this weekend? Plans?
Good question. No plans, no hopes for any new developments. I do have guests in town, my aunt and my cousin. So we'll probably spend some time with them. My son's in town for spring break.
So fun.
Yeah, so we'll probably do that. So it's a family / people type of weekend, which I like. You know, I do want to go to the beach. I still haven't gone this year yet. But I think it's time to take my bike and go to the beach.
It's on your list.
Yeah. I mean, I love doing that. It's just the hassle for me is loading it on the car and unloading it.
I know.
Back again. And I have a different car than I used to have. So I don't know how my rack is even fitting on it, you know. So we'll see.
You have an SUV though, right?
Yeah. So now I have an SUV. And I don't know how the rack works.
You can just put it in the back though. Maybe.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I never even thought of that. Put the seats down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I tell you why, when I put it on the rack, I'm like, you know, you drive on the freeway like 70 miles an hour and I'm constantly conscious that it's going to just fall.
Right.
And hit somebody, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
So I can't like relax. And I think on top of all that loading, unloading in the back of my mind, I think I'm just thinking, oh, it's too much of a hassle.
Right.
You know? But I got to make it an unhassle so I can do this because I enjoy it so much riding a bike on the beach.
You know? It's nice.
There's nothing like it, man.
It's nice. I like it too. I've only done it a couple times, but same story. Yeah. I really enjoy it. I just have to not be lazy and get
I know.
To go do it.
Do you roller skate or rollerblade?
I don't. Oh my gosh.
There's people there all the time doing that.
I know. I can get by on rollerblades, but I'm not good enough at it to really enjoy it.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
You're too busy trying to stay up and
fall.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. I know. I envy people that feel so comfortable on skates and stuff, you know. It's just like, you know, like hockey players and, you know, whatever. But, yeah.
Oh, God. Ice skating, good Lord.
Yeah, right?
I am horrible. Like, it's just
I've
like...
I've never even tried.
It's so far from enjoyable to me. Like, it's the furthest thing from that.
Yeah, right.
I'm just hanging on to the rail the whole time, essentially. And freezing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yes, people know not to ask me to go ice skating because it won't be fun.
Yeah. Actually, this is Easter weekend, right?
It is.
Oh, it is. Wow.
Sunday is Easter.
Yeah. So we need to make some plans. Do people usually travel far on Easter? They don't, right? It's not really a three-day weekend, right?
Well, is it? Actually, yeah. Today's Good Friday.
Right.
So,
and then Monday is something too, right?
Yeah, I'm not Somebody sure.
Somebody told me because one of our hosts has to absolutely take every holiday in the book. So she's taking Monday too. I don't know what that is.
So funny. Well, I'm actually going to Texas this weekend.
You are?
I am.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of an impromptu trip.
Nice.
Yeah, my parents are like, hey, we booked you tickets. Like, we hope you can go. And so. Yeah, I'm really
How
excited.
Nice. Okay,
I know.
Cool. Yeah. I didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah,
you
I'm
said
so
you
excited.
Take a couple days off. I said, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm excited because that my little niece is like, you know, she's getting to that really fun age where
she's growing.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
She's just over a year. So I don't know. She's maybe 13, 14 months.
Right. So and she's walking.
Right. She's walking and, you know, playing and just really cutting up. And it's just, it's so cute.
Wow.
So, yeah. So my little sister, Brooke, and I teamed up and got her a cute little Easter present, and so it'll be fun. And it's like I said, just wait for pictures because it's going to be gorgeous. There's it's just full of bluebonnets.
Really?
Yeah, where I'm from, so it's gorgeous.
Well, there you go. This is our ambassador from Texas.
I know, right?
Promoting the beauty of Texas.
I've always said it should be like its own country.
Really? Right?
It is. You need a passport.
Yeah,
to
it's
go down
pretty
there.
Big. That's true, right? Yeah. I don't know. That's one thing I have. Well, I have been to Austin. I keep forgetting that. But I don't know. Is that really Texas? I mean, you got to go to Houston or Dallas, right? To really see Texas? No?
You know, yes and no. Austin is, like, of course, very city-like. And it's, you know, it's actually got kind of like an L.A., New York type feel.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, wide open spaces, stuff like that. It's like the hill country, you know, area would be more indicative of Texas in general. But, you know, it's hard to really categorize the state. It's kind of like California.
Right, like different parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what is California?
Exactly.
You know?
Some people think, California, but Southern California, Northern California, two different things.
Right.
Okay,
completely.
Gotcha.
It's totally two different things. So,
right.
And then, you know, you have West Texas that's just like practically the desert. And then you have, you know, the coast. And there's just, there's so many different landscapes and environments that it's really hard to categorize. But
now, did you travel around the state? Have you been to,
I did, yeah. I did a lot of...
Have you been to the coast?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I did really? A lot of traveling, okay. Like just rodeoing and doing like all of my extracurricular activities in school. Like I would go around a lot of places and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because I always like to visit Texas when I'm here, and then I always like to come back when I'm there. So, you know, it's like,
good, good. So you have two homes.
I do.
Why not?
I know. Why not? Hey.
So, yeah, I mean, God, that could give me a good idea of where to go. But you know what? We do have guests scheduled, so I'll just probably get somebody to co-host with me, guest co-host on Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I am tempted to take it. Maybe we'll just reschedule or something.
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
There goes our guest. I think he was calling me on my cell phone, so I think we finally figured it out. Good morning, Jeremy. Are you with us? Jeremy?
Good morning, Sam. Yes, I am.
Yes, thank you for calling in. I'm here with Kelsey, and we've been waiting for your call. I noticed you were calling me on my cell phone. I thought, I sure hope he has the right number.
I just went back and checked through, and I think we've got the right one now. It's great to finally chat with you.
Yes, I know, because we were trying to get together for a few weeks now, and we keep on missing each other, but you're finally here, Jeremy. You calling us from where?
From Brisbane, Australia.
Oh, Brisbane. Australia. There you go. Yeah. I was pretty sure it was Australia, but I wasn't quite sure. So I told Kelsey we'll find out from you. Jeremy, yeah, so we're talking to...
Easter Saturday now.
Yeah. I know this is a little delay in the phone.
There
before
is,
we're talking
yeah.
to each other. So the listeners will have to forgive us. But we're talking to Jeremy Walker. You have a website called Inspire Hypnotherapy, and, well, obviously, you're a hypnotherapist and stuff. Tell us a little bit more about what it is that you do, Jeremy.
Yes, a lot of the work I do is in helping people to change some of those habits that they've been looking to shift for a long time now. And I guess it's really interesting that, say, with, say, quitting smoking and things like that, that someone would do something that they say they don't want to do. I help people in resolving that conflict.
Right.
How exactly do you do that? That's what I want to know.
He's like, yeah, I'll give you all my trade secrets.
Oh, say I have an addiction. How would you break that?
Yeah, so a lot of the times it can be a perception type thing where, say, someone growing up might have to avoid up to 25 different types of addictions from, say, shopping addiction to cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, even codependent relationships and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a perception that they might need that certain thing to fulfill something in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So part of the things I look at with any addiction is not just that it's negative, which they're usually already aware of, but also looking at the positives and seeing if they can get those from a healthy source.
Mm.
So a good example might be someone might play with their phone a lot if they're really bored, or smoke a cigarette if they're bored, or again, overeat if they're bored, and seeing if they can actually find something to satisfy what they're looking for from a healthy source as well.
Right. Now,
one thing I look at there certainly is that if all addictions were bad, people wouldn't do them.
Yeah.
Finding out what that positive is and seeing if we can get that from a good source there.
Right. So you help not only with the hypnotherapy part of it, but you actually accompany the person through the entire recovery journey. Would you say that?
Yeah, so can you ask that one again, Ken?
Okay, what I'm saying is you don't just do the hypnosis, but you actually help the person kick the habit, kick the addiction. So does that involve talking as well? Like talk therapy?
Yes, there's certainly the coaching element there as well, where there could be some relationship stuff going on, some emotional stuff going on. I guess helping people to get really grounded in their life as well, where a lot of people might be right up in their emotional zone and in their mental zone, but they haven't got grounded back in the body there as well. So things like getting back into exercise and good nutrition and having that good self-talk and gratitude can be a really important thing there as well.
Yeah. So that's what I was asking. So you pretty much provide the whole package. Now, so I would imagine you wanted to talk to us here in the States, that you probably do this globally, right? Can you do it? I mean,
yeah,
can you do
right.
it remotely?
For the last 10 months, I have been looking to take my business on a more global scale.
Uh-huh.
I'd love to share my message with 1 million people over the next 4 years and impact directly 20,000 people in consultations and live trainings and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
Certainly I do now webinars that are obviously global, and also you can do phone and Skype sessions as well. I remember there was a lady just recently who was doing a phone session with in Sydney.
Hmm.
And she laid down, had the most amazing experience, and it all happened over the phone, which I guess a really beautiful thing as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. And we were talking about the internet and how it's transformed everything. You know, I mean, the world has become so small now because you can work with practically anybody just over the internet or phones or whatever, you know. So that's amazing. We're talking to Jeremy Walker. The website is inspirehypnotherapy.com. You guys can find out a lot more. Results-based therapy, I think that's pretty self-explanatory, but obviously, but tell us a little more about that. What does it mean exactly, results-based therapy?
Yeah, so I guess my therapy always has that intention right from the start, that if they are coming in with a certain type of problem, that by the time they leave, they won't have that problem anymore. And maybe it's something that they have had for years and years. But I like to think that anyone can return to that natural place of being that they started with when they came into the world. So one of the other things I help people to get back in touch with is their own instincts.
Hmm.
Certainly if I share some wisdom with them, but it doesn't really feel like it's true to them, it doesn't really mean as much as where they come up with something themselves or coming up with something from their own gut instinct or their own heart instinct as well.
Right.
So even though that wouldn't be something I advertise, I'm always trying to guide people back to their own instincts. And I guess that's the certainty I have around change, is that if someone can connect in with themselves and that natural wisdom, that quite often they can resolve those problems in a fairly quick amount of time with some other systems in place as well.
Wow. So you can help people with losing weight and quitting smoking and stuff. Now, but does this work with like heavy addictions too, like to drugs and alcohol and stuff? Because I know these things are hard to recover from. You know, people have to go their entire life through 12-step programs and things like this. Can you really address these things as well in your practice, or is that too much for therapy?
Yeah.
For hypno?
I don't currently work with people with heavy drugs, just because there can be some other factors in place there, like
medical stuff.
Them using medications with drugs, and yeah, certainly medical things. That it could be there's violent outbursts, and I don't have the facilities where I work on those things. Certainly I work in behaviour change. I do help people with alcohol reduction.
Sure.
But not with, say, ice and speed and some of those heavier drugs. So there are some great practitioners who do. I don't work in that area just yet.
But I think it would work, you know, aside from the hard drugs, I think the hypnotherapy would work for any other type of addiction that's not like physically addictive, because it's, you know, it has to increase the serotonin in your brain, and that's why people get addicted, right?
Yeah. And Sam, like you asked with weight loss there as well, people who say overeat or have the snacking after meals, there's a little chemical in the brain called leptin. And when that little chemical doesn't fire, we might eat some food but not feel full or not feel satisfied. So with the weight loss things I do, I look to help people get back to that place where they've just got that natural way of being with food. Oh, I had a good meal, it felt satisfying, but without feeling like they're missing anything as well.
Yeah.
So again, we always look back at that positive intention. Was the overeating to fulfill loneliness, or because they were bored and because they've got a really stressful situation? And always looking for that core intention and getting back to that thing that I think people are really looking for.
Yeah. And I think mixing hypnosis and therapy, I think, is a good thing, because you're pretty much going into the subconscious and the conscious, and you're trying to really see what the reasons are for certain behaviors. So now, Jeremy, so this is fascinating. When did you become interested in this field?
Yeah, I love this question. Sometimes people ask me, and I think it found me more so than me finding it.
Oh, okay.
Probably in about 2007, 2008, I started a journey of self-learning. I read about 500 books over a three-year period.
Mm. Wow.
And around this same time, I'd actually had a relationship breakdown myself and had anxiety and chronic fatigue and these sort of things. And I think that just pushed me further into learning more about self-healing and that mind-body connection.
Yeah.
And maybe some of your listeners have had this experience where they've got all these symptoms going on. They go to the doctor and can't actually find out what's going on with me. So essentially, I just kind of treated myself for everything. I did energy healing on myself. I saw energy healers myself, got into everything from crystals to psychology, these other different mind-body therapies, and over the years just kept trying to get myself back stronger and stronger. And funnily enough, the three things that worked the best in resolving the problems I had was exercise, eating real food, and coming back to that place of purpose and passion.
Right. So you obviously, as you mentioned, you deal with eating disorders and things like this as well. And I know those are, and that can be an addiction just as cruel as drugs and alcohol. I mean, you know, I still do, but someone who's been struggling with food all their life and they eat in hiding, you know, the whole thing that she would do, it's like she would eat a whole thing of cookies and then replace it and eat a few so it looked like nobody touched it, you know.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of secretive stuff going on.
Yeah, I think when that secretive and that hiding stuff comes in, it's kind of like when a behavior has gone to another level, and it can be really difficult at those times. I can certainly relate to that a bit. And I think in the past I had done that with, you know, cookies and chocolate myself to make it look like I hadn't eaten quite as much, and with alcohol as well to kind of bring the cans forward so it looks like there were still things behind and these sort of things.
Right. And so hypnotherapy really helped you beat those addictions?
Yes, yeah, certainly a part of the therapy there is that hypnotherapy where instead of having that response where, like, I'm craving the alcohol or craving a cigarette, it could be, wow, I'm taking that full deep breath and just feeling really good. And But again, if there's underlying things behind it, looking to make sure those are being met as well.
Right.
And one of the other things I'd probably mention around overcoming addictions is the highs and the feelings we can get from things that are really good for us can sometimes surpass that of even the hardest drugs.
Mm.
The things I guess, experience now and other people in my field in doing certain energy exercises like Tai Chi, Qigong and yoga, meditation and other exercise as well. Some of the experiences I've had with those are actually on a par with some of the really, really powerful drugs as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
there's a therapist here pretty close to Brisbane named Joe Sawyer. He does work with people with really hard drugs such as ice and heroin and speed. And the things he gets them doing is supports their body with, say, traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture, but also does these energy exercises so that they're replacing that high with something just as powerful.
Yeah. Wow. Definitely fascinating. Jeremy Walker, he's in Brisbane, Australia, but he really will work with you anywhere in the world. You can go to the website inspirehypnotherapy.com. I see that you offer a 30-minute free consultation, which is awesome. So you guys can find this on Jeremy's website as well. Jeremy, is there anything else we should add that we... I did want to ask you... what is virtual gastric banding? What exactly, how does that work?
So the virtual gastric banding is something I help people with on their weight loss journey. So through the therapy itself, we do look at nutrition and that positive intention of the behavior, having that positive relationship with food as well.
Hmm.
And then in hypnosis, we actually do a virtual surgery where using visualization, they'll imagine themselves going to the hospital and having either that gastric band or gastric sleeve surgery.
And that's a lot cheaper.
Interesting occurrences.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like I'm going in and two interesting things happened with clients just recently. They said they had the exact same symptoms they got when they would normally have anesthesia.
Oh my God.
Well, one had a feeling in the throat, another one had no memory whatsoever of what happened. Just by visualizing this experience, the body wisdom kicked in. And they had that exact same feeling in the body they got when they had the actual anesthesia with real-life surgery.
Wow.
And you probably saw I did a weight loss clinical trial so I could actually demonstrate the effectiveness of the program as well, and that those results all came back quite positive as well.
Wow. Amazing stuff.
So cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully something quite interesting and different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jeremy Walker, everybody, check out his website. You can contact him here. I see there's social media links here. So everything you need is at inspirehypnotherapy.com. Jeremy, thank you for joining us this morning. Oh, it's probably nighttime where you are, right? What time is it there now?
Yeah. So it's now 3:30 in the morning. So I think we'll probably head back to go shortly.
Yeah. 3:30 in the morning, Saturday morning.
Oh, I can't believe we woke you up that early.
I just really like to share my message wherever I can. I think,
we thank you for that.
I really want to get out there.
I think it's amazing. I'm really interested in it. I've had a lot of friends suffer from addictions, and it seems like it's just out of their control. So something like hypnotherapy almost seems necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think whenever there is that conflict between, hey, I really want to make a change, but I can't quite get there, I always wonder, how does that happen? Are we not in charge of our own thinking? And the father of hypnotherapy, Dr. Milton Erickson, used to say, anyone coming in for hypnosis is coming in because they're out of touch with their own subconscious mind.
Right.
And I guess even how to use that to their own benefit.
Wow.
So one kind of hot tip I'd recommend anyone looking to get control is start to have a dialogue with the part of their mind that does control their addiction or does control that behavior. Start to ask, what are you trying to teach me? What can I learn from you? And those sort of powerful questions to see if they can get some answers on the inside there as well.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting, Jeremy. Thank you so much for joining us. And much continued success to you in everything that you do. And we're happy to get the message out there for you. Inspire Hypnotherapy, results-based therapy, folks. If you want to have something serious and that will help you transform your life, reach out to Jeremy and you probably succeed. Probably succeed. If you've been doing this for a while, I'm sure you know what you're doing at this point. Right, Jeremy?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Take care, Jeremy, and all the best to you.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about, the internet, you know, how it allows people to really expand their market, you know. And so that's how it allows you to have fans that speak Arabic.
I know.
From the Middle East. That write you in every possible language out there. That's funny.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah, I know.
I love my Arabic fans.
Your Arabic fans.
Yes. An Egyptian, Palestinian.
Right. I know. It's pretty cool. They, they love American women over there, let me tell you.
Well, that's pretty fascinating to me, the whole hypnosis thing.
Yeah, huh?
It's funny how the topics always kind of lead to that on our show recently.
Right, I know.
You know, we've been having a lot of that.
A lot of recovery and addiction and things like that. Yeah, I guess a lot of people get involved.
I wonder if it's a sign.
I don't know. I just think it's because it's such a... Go ahead.
It's like, you're smoking.
Yeah, and what are you doing?
I don't know. Am I drinking, maybe? I don't know. I don't drink that much, though. So that doesn't really work. But maybe something in the future.
I don't think it's in us. I think we just, like, convey the message. You know, we're like a conduit, you know.
Yeah.
And I think...
We are.
Yeah, you know. And people just, I mean, I know every time I listen to a show here on the station and stuff, I get interested in a guest or something like that. You know, it's always fascinating to have people, and they don't have to be A-list celebrities to be interesting.
I think it's almost better if they're not, in a way.
I know, because, yeah, the celebrities are all the same, you know, usually the same story every time, you know, like when you listen to Howard Stern and stuff. Although, you know, I mean, look, there are people too, they have interesting stories, but... The thing is that there's plenty of plain folks out there who do incredible things, and they're not famous.
Right.
Right, yeah.
I agree.
So you're going to be in Texas the whole 4 or 5 days you're going?
4 days, yeah.
4 days. Yeah. And so do you have anything planned? Or are you just going to go there and just follow... Whatever happens,
go
with the flow.
Yeah, just kind of going with the flow. We're having an Easter celebration on Saturday, actually, I believe. Oh, my God, tomorrow. Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that'll be fun. Yeah. And just kind of get everybody together and... Yeah, and then, you know, everybody cooks something, except I usually buy something.
Yeah, potluck. This is what I bought at Ralph.
It's like everybody just knows what to expect from me when it comes to, like, culinary.
Yeah, well, everybody's got their specialties.
I know. Culinary feasts. My boyfriend's like, it's cool. I'll cook. Yeah. Don't worry. I'm like, okay. But hey, I'm getting really good at, like, making salads and egg medleys.
Nice.
Yeah.
You see? So you care.
Oh,
you
care
about being able to cook.
Yeah.
Now, does your mom cook a lot?
She does, but not like from scratch or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually...
But were you not ever interested in how to cook and things like that?
Not really. You know, to be honest, I've never been very domestic.
Yeah.
I just wasn't born that way.
Yeah, huh?
And, you know, my little sister Brooke, she loves that kind of stuff. She's always, like, on Pinterest, finding, like, great recipes to make and stuff like that. And, I mean, I'd sooner, like, slit my wrist than, like, go on Pinterest and find a complicated recipe. Like, please. It's just not me, you know?
Were you tomboyish growing up and stuff?
Not at all.
No, you were like a girly girl.
Bizarre, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I was, but not to the extreme. Like, I like to dress up, but I'm, you know, I was always very girly. Like, there's not like a masculine bone in my body, but, you know, I didn't mind getting dirty and stuff, obviously, because, you know, I rode horses and, right. and everything. But
you just prefer to do things outdoors rather than inside the home, I think. That's what it is.
Yeah,
right?
And I just, I don't know, I never was very domestic. And, I mean, even now, as I get older, I haven't really gotten the urge to have children.
Yeah, well, not yet.
Yeah, I guess.
Because in the back of your mind, I think you know you're not ready yet, you know? You still
maybe.
Have a career to work on.
Maybe, yeah. Like I'm sure it's something subconscious. But, yeah, I just... So, yes, domestic things have just never really appealed to me that much. Yeah. Now, I do like designing and stuff like that, but... I mean, I like to...
That's not really a domestic thing.
No, yeah. I like to kind of outsource most of that.
Well,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Why bother with the small stuff, you know? Let other people deal with it. You got to deal with the big picture. No, I'm all for that. You know, you got to know how to delegate. A lot of people don't know how to delegate, and it makes them terrible managers. Because you can't do everything yourself, you know.
You can't. And you can't do everything well yourself either, which is the most, you know,
that's true.
Thing.
That's what people keep telling me. Focus on what you do best and hire people to do what you don't and what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the funny thing is I used to do accounting for many years.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Do you have your degree in accounting?
No, I have a degree in business, but... I just did accounting because I sort of like fell into it early on in my life, and so I picked it up later on.
Right. You're not a CPA, right. though.
No, not a CPA by any means, but because I'm not that attracted to it. But the bottom line is that now I don't even want to deal with accounting. You know, not only don't I like it, I don't even want to see it anymore.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm still doing taxes and stuff here and there, but still.
My God.
Yeah.
Taxes.
I'm not,
another thing that I'd rather slit my wrist than do.
Right. Huh? But you know what? They make it pretty easy. You know, I mean, if you wanted to do it yourself, you get TurboTax, you follow the questions, and that's it. They fill all
the forms
for you.
You know what, though? For me, it's a freaking nightmare because I have so many different jobs.
That's true.
And.
But you get forms from all of them and whoever you do, and you know, and that's what you put in there, you know. So, but yeah, but no, I mean, look, for doing it once a year, you don't need to know how to do that. Just go to somebody, have them do it for you.
Yeah, that's,
and that's
what I do.
It. Yeah, I just when you understand the stuff, you want to be in control so you understand what's happening there, you know. But that's just me. But I just assume give it to someone else too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who wants to deal with that, my God?
I don't know. Yeah. Not me. It's not on my to-do list.
Yeah, I know. Check out this headline. Japan kills 200 pregnant whales. Yeah. I mean, can that be any more terrible than this? Yeah. 200 whales. You know how many whales? That's 200. And did you see the advertising from SeaWorld saying they're not going to continue... having animals in captivity, like beyond what they have now. They're not going to continue to reproduce them in captivity anymore because people have protested, you know?
And right, okay, I get that, but then how is SeaWorld going to...
I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to rethink the whole idea of SeaWorld.
Yeah, because I get it, but... By the same token, if you're born into captivity, it's all you know.
Right.
So that's almost better.
Yeah.
Than going out and getting new, I mean.
No, that's true. But what they're saying is that the future generations will not be born in captivity, and therefore they'll know how to fend for themselves. You know, the future generation. So
okay, yeah. That's a valid point.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know the whole thing. All I know is that they advertise heavily about this now. And because
it was a huge controversy.
Right, yeah. So, but, and they'll probably continue with other creatures from the sea, you know, maybe not whales and dolphins, but, you know, maybe like, I don't know, fish and seahorses, you know, the small stuff that don't really, we don't really know if they feel anything or not, you know.
I know. I mean, you think like, oh, they can't be happy in captivity. But then like, what do we know? Like, I mean, I'm not defending it because obviously I like to see them in the wild. But by the same token, like, hey, if I had food handed to me on a platter every day, didn't have to go That's out
true.
And...
you got something. I mean,
you never...
there.
We don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe they're happy there, right?
I don't know.
That's what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, just like when a dog is would rather be with a person than alone. But these are wild animals.
They're wild, I know.
It's different, you know.
But at one time, so were dogs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but we breeded dogs to be...
domestic.
Domestic, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally.
Different.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like dogs, you know. It's like so many people walk their dogs around where I live.
Me too.
And they're cool, you know. It's like, they're cute.
It actually makes me miss dogs, though. I miss animals right? living in a high-rise. I'm like... oh, give me animals.
Yeah. So you would get one if you didn't live in a high rise? If you could have an animal, would you get one?
Yeah, I would.
Like a dog or something?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But,
but you're not home a lot. I mean, that wouldn't be fair to them.
Exactly. And right? that's why I don't do it. I mean, if I lived in a house and they could be in the yard or something, that's totally different.
Yeah.
But not... in high rise.
Right.
It's just not...
they're too cooped up, you know.
Yeah. And then I wouldn't be able to... I mean, what? They're going to get out 20 minutes a day for a walk? Like,
exactly. Well, that's what happens with most animals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
what happens.
I don't know. That part's hard. It's like I figure I'm better off just like going and volunteering at a shelter for a few hours.
Yeah.
And getting my fix with the dogs.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
You know,
yeah.
than having my own and not treating them... as well as they should be treated, so.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well. All right, folks. Well, gee, I wish I'd thought about this. You need to give me a longer notice next time, and I'll plan a Hawaii trip or something.
Ah,
this
okay.
would have been a perfect trip. But yeah, so we'll see. So, folks, you know what? Just check with us on Monday. We may be live. We may not be. We'll see if I can find someone to ride shotgun with me on Monday and Tuesday. We thank Jeremy Walker for calling in from Australia. That was a fascinating conversation. And Kelsey, you have yourself a great trip.
I will.
Okay, fly safe and have a great time. And send our love to Texas.
All right.
From L.A. Thank you all for listening. We always love you. And we will see you next week. So have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.